over the next couple of Sundays, you may have seen in the notice sheet, Testimony Sundays, and inviting people to come and share their stories with us. And maybe today is a good day to be hearing stories of God's faithfulness to us. So in a moment, I'm just doing a very short, you'll be pleased to know for once, a short little thought, really, message, and then we're going to hear from Claire Lawford and from Pauline Forsdyke are going to share their stories with us. And having been in the first service, I know you're going to be really blessed as you hear from them this morning. So if somebody came to you, well, a bit like Mandy did, interesting response. If somebody came to you and said, have you seen God at work this week? I wonder what would come to mind. Maybe you're a bit like me and your mind just goes blank. And now you're thinking, oh, I could have said that. I could have shared that. But sometimes we struggle, don't we, immediately to think of what God's doing in our lives. So I guess the question I'm under that is, am I aware in my day-to-day life that God is at work? Am I aware that he's working around me, within me, in others? We've just sung, haven't we? And I feel the need to pray this more and more. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. That's our prayer, isn't it? Open our eyes to see what you're doing, to see you. I think, you know, the truth is that often we can look back, can't we, with the wonderful gift of hindsight, and we can see certain times in our life where God has been there. And with hindsight, we can say, yes, God was with us. He was guiding us, helping us, giving us strength. But often in the moment, it's harder to think. I want to just take us briefly to have a look at Elisha in the Old Testament. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. And he definitely had these eyes that could see God at work. Elisha was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. It was at the time when Israel was ruled by a succession of evil kings. They were often found themselves surrounded by enemy armies. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha, too much in there today, sorry. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of the officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant cried. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So as a prophet, as a man of God, as the Bible refers to him, Elisha was so used to hearing God speak to him and seeing God at work. I love that bit in the story, that Elisha has such knowledge of the enemy's plans that he gains this reputation for even knowing what the king talks about in his bedroom with his wife. It's quite a little humorous little bit of information, isn't it? Earlier in the story that we haven't got time to read, we read about how he brings a boy back to life. We read about how he heals a commander of the Lord, of the king's army of leprosy. He makes safe poisonous food so that people can eat when they're hungry. And he even makes an axe head float to the top of the water that was lost so that it could be found and returned to its rightful owner. No, Elisha lived in a way that demonstrated he was constantly attentive to God. He had this willingness to listen to God and to step out and minister to others, to encourage others, to bless others. And now here we find him in a very difficult situation, don't we? Surrounded by this enemy army that are ready to pounce and capture him. And so his servant gets up in the morning not knowing what's happened through the night. He looks out of the window or goes out of the door and he sees this army, the horses and the chariots all around them. And of course he's full of fear, wouldn't we all be, in the face of what now seems like this hopeless situation. And he cries out to Elisha, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're stuffed, you know. Now, remember this, Elisha and his servant, as they look out, they are looking out at exactly the same thing. They're looking at the same view out of that window. But look at Elisha's response, so different. He sees such a different view. He sees an even greater army. And so he responds with faith. Those who are with us, he says, are more than those who are with them. Elisha has no reason to fear because his eyes are open to see what God is doing. Elisha sees, doesn't he, that it's not them that are outnumbered, but it's the enemy who are outnumbered. Isn't that brilliant? He sees that with God on his side, nothing to fear. I feel like Elisha's got hold of that verse in Romans 8 already, like thousands of years early, hasn't he? When Paul says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Now, I know that for some of us, our experience might not feel or look like that right now. We might feel, actually, that life, that circumstances, that things that are happening around us or to us, people, maybe, are against us. But perhaps we can maybe just change Paul's words slightly to mean exactly the same thing. Perhaps he wants us to see this morning that if God is for us, who cares who's against us? Who cares who's against us, Paul would say, because the army is greater than the army we face. If the God who gave his only son for us, if he loves us enough to die for us, then he is a God who is for us, isn't he? Even if death has been defeated, as the Bible tells us through Jesus' death on the cross, through his resurrection, death has been defeated, then what have we to fear? What have we to fear? That's what Elisha would want to say. So Elisha prays, doesn't he, that God will open the servant's eyes so that he too will understand the truth of what is really out there. And that he would have the same faith. If God is for us, then who cares who's against us? Because we have God on our side. And as I said, this Sunday and next Sunday, we've made space for testimony, for people to come and share what God is doing in their lives as they've looked and seen, as their eyes have been opened and they've recognised what God has been doing in their lives, and they're coming to share that with us, which is always, I'm sure you'll agree with me, that hearing other people's testimonies are always so encouraging. And as they do share with us, our prayer is that this will encourage our faith as we listen to them, as we stand with them, as they share the struggles that they've faced. But also that we celebrate that God is faithful, so often faithful, always faithful. But also we want to pray that like the servant in the story, that our eyes will be opened, even in those most difficult circumstances that we might be facing at the moment. So those really difficult places, deep waters that we might be facing, that we have our eyes open to see that God is with us, that God is at work, that we'd be more aware of what the New Testament calls the unseen. The spiritual battle that's going on, that God is at work, that we have a powerful God. And my prayer is that we'd all be aware, more aware, of his presence in our lives as we have our eyes open to what he's doing. So I'm really excited to be inviting Claire to come and share with us. And Claire, I'll just pray for you as you come. Father, I pray for Claire, I pray for Pauline as they come to share with us. Lord, I recognize they're making themselves vulnerable as they do that. But Lord, I pray that you would bless them and that they would be encouraged and we would be encouraged as we stand with them in their story. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Morning. For those that don't know me, my name's Claire, and I'm normally the other side of the stage with my husband, Andrew, who plays the piano here as well. And I must say that I'm much more comfortable that side than he has. I really also wish I'd written much clearer notes, because it's not great, but anyway. I really couldn't work out how to start today. So I'm just gonna go with, I've always found life a struggle. It's been hard. Now I'm calling on my own experience here, and with time restrictions and you not wanting me probably to do my own sermon up here, I'm gonna scoot over some stuff which I would always normally like to go into more detail. So growing up, I knew I was different. It's hard to explain. Everything I needed to do just took so much effort, but like always, friendships were hard. I dropped out of sixth form twice, college twice. I've had lots of different jobs. But on the other hand, show me how to do something physically, like show me, I'm a really quick learner. I'm also a Lego expert. I am a Lego master, for those that didn't know that about me. I know all Disney song lyrics off the top of my heart. I can learn a song after listening to it once, but can't read music. It's been a lifelong journey of thinking, surely just life isn't meant to be this hard. Seemingly basic tasks and life activities have just been such a struggle to do. This has led to a lot of self-comparison, comparing myself to others. In my mind, I just must be flawed. I just lots of not being able to do stuff and failures. Everyone else just seems to do stuff, but not me. Now I can see you thinking, but Claire, you're up the front, you sing, you had a nursing career, for those that didn't know, and you are raising three daughters. I can also see from your Instagram that you make super fancy sourdough bread, which is really beautiful, I must say. You look like you're doing all right. But I feel that this is a fine example of what we see from the outside is not what's really going on behind the scenes, or really what's going on in people's lives. I've often been described as swan-like, gliding along, seemingly calm, but with my legs going crazy like underneath to make movement happen. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and more recently on the autism spectrum. These, by definition, are neurological differences on how your brain works and processes the information around us. This different type of wiring in the brain means we experience and see the world in different ways, differently from what is considered normal or neurotypical. And of course, each autistic person is completely different. For me, this was the missing part of the puzzle. I found insight into myself and my children who are also neurodivergent. I found this empowering. The knowledge, and with educating myself, led to understanding. And with understanding, leads to acceptance. Now, acceptance is a tricky one, and I must confess it's an ongoing journey. I've gotten help in the form of medication, good therapy, and relearning and adapting ways of doing things in my everyday life, which works with the way that my brain processes that information. Sorry, this bit's really scribbly, and I've got to try and read it. Part of having ADHD and being autistic for me comes across in lots of different ways. For me, I struggle with auditory processing, so I struggle to hear, and my brain listens to not necessarily what I would like to listen to. It can become overwhelming for me. I have sensory sensitivities. I have an amazing sense of smell, which has its pros and cons. Transitions I really struggle with. You will often find me just sat in the car. Andrew's well used to me just sitting in the drive and in the car. I'd struggle from going from one place to another. Executive functioning is my big one. This is planning, organising, time management. Of course I can do those six jobs in the 5 minutes I've got to leave before I leave the house. Now, I could go on, and this is such a massive topic, so we're going to move on from that. But let me share with you how my faith and God helps me daily. Now, I struggle with reading. I'm not going to pretend that I read my Bible. I can count on one hand how many books I've read in my whole life. This is something that is really difficult for me to process, written word. However, with all the things that we have available to us, I find that I can make that happen through apps that read it to me, or I'm old school, I love writing things down. And so through that, when I'm frustrated with my own limitations and I'm overwhelmed, which to be honest happens quite a lot, I love that I'm reminded in God's word that he sees me, truly sees me. He made me with intention and purpose for a purpose, with my unique perspectives and skills. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. Other places in the Bible, we are chosen, we are deeply loved. God gives us a gift of unending grace, and it's through this I've learned that grace is something I can also give myself. In patience and understanding, I love the fact that God gives us a daily opportunity to reset and start afresh each day. He gives us the right people in our lives to support us. A big one for me is also when I'm so exhausted, he calls us to rest. Mark 6, verse 30 to 32, which is so important in our performance culture. I love also how the Bible is full of people who struggled and were different. I'm going to finish with Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Really appreciate you sharing something very personal with us. It's great to know, see what God is doing in people's lives, revealing himself in our own characters as well, and affirming us. There's a lot to reflect on this morning. I just want to give us a bit more space and time to bring our thoughts to the Lord. And by means of a short testimony for me, I've chosen a song which Mark and I are going to sing and play to you. And I'd like you to focus on the words. It's based on Psalm 84, which has been a really important psalm throughout my Christian life. To summarise very quickly, before I knew the Lord, I was a New Age seeker. Spent a lot of time looking inward and seeking transcendental meditation and becoming someone who was felt more and more dislocated from this world and didn't really have a place in this world. I felt like I belonged somewhere in the universe. Well, that sounds wacky, but yeah, I suppose it was a bit wacky. But that led to despair, really. The more I looked inward, the more despair and darkness I found, until I met with the Lord. I encountered the Holy Spirit in my bedroom through reading the Bible. And yeah, to summarize, God calls us to, yes, reflect on ourselves, but to find hope and meaning and purpose and a home, we need to look to him. We look out and up, because that's where our hope is found, in God alone. He is our dwelling place. And yeah, I'm just going to read this first couple of lines and then I'm going to sing. So just, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you promise that sense of fulfillment and belonging and purpose in you. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. My soul is longing and it is fainting for the courts of the Lord to see. My heart and flesh, they're singing for joy to the living God. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me.
Oh, Lord. Oh, to be that bit taller, eh? Maybe my new body. I'd like to share with you some trouble I've been having with my eyes. About 3.5 years ago, I was sent to see a consultant at Southampton because my sight was failing. He said that both of my eyes needed a cornea graft, and that I'd also got macular degeneration more in my left eye, not so much in my right, which probably was the reason that the sight in my left eye is really worse. But he said, I can give you surgery and we'll get that right eye working properly and, you know, you'll get your sight and all of these things. And I was really excited about this. Well, in April this year, I got the phone call. Would you like to come in and get your surgery? Yes, please. In I went, really excited. Had the surgery and came home. And I was told that you're not going to see anything for quite a while. It would just be white. But then within about a week's time, you should begin to be able to see something. And it will take longer to sharpen up. You know, everybody's different. So anyway, so that was fine. And I had to lay in bed or lay on your back for 3 days, which I'd done that too. So I was being very good, doing all I was told. And then on the third morning when I woke up, my eye felt a bit sore and I thought maybe I've just been lying on it. But when I looked or opened my eye, it wasn't white anymore, it was black. So I rang the hospital because I knew something was wrong. And they said to come straight up. Well, I went up to Southampton Hospital and it was the beginning of many, many, and still is, visits up to the hospital. The first thing they'd done was to take a biopsy to find out what had happened from the back of the eye. And it turned out I'd got an infection at the back. And over the next coming weeks, at first he sounded quite positive, you know, we can get some sight. But by about the third or fourth week, the answer I got to my question, am I going to get my sight, was I'm afraid that it's deteriorating at the back of the eye and it's torn the retina away. And I'm afraid the time for getting some sight back has now passed. It took a little while to sink in. And I came home and I sat on my bed and I sat there thinking, I'm going to be blind in that eye for the rest of my life. And what about my other eye? If I don't have the surgery on that, it's going to continue deteriorating until I can't see out of that. So I sat there and I tried to pray, but my praying turned to accusing God and asking questions, why? Why have you let this happen for me? All things happen for a reason. What reason? What reason have you got to let me go blind? Anyway, I sat there for a bit longer. I couldn't praise God at all. I couldn't thank him. I couldn't do anything like that. Anyway, but later in the day, I turned to scripture. And in Matthew 8:18, it says, the pain that you have been feeling can't compare with the glory that's to come. And that's a wonderful verse, but it's talking about later when I'm with Jesus and I've got no pain and no suffering. That is wonderful, but I wanted something for now, something I can hold on to, something that I know Jesus is with me. So I know there's plenty of psalms that bring great comfort, but there's one verse that way back when I first became a Christian 57 years ago, it must have been one of the first stories I heard. And at the time, I was going through a difficult time. And I took this verse for myself. Although God was speaking to Jacob, I took this verse for myself. You all know, I'm sure, the verse that I mean. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, because I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, that is the verse that I always took, and I finished it there, and I never went much further. It's very helpful, and I loved that verse. It helped me many times, especially back then. But then, verse 13, and to be honest, I can't remember whether it was when Kay and I were talking together, or I've got a feeling I heard it preached here. You may be able to put me right. When verse 13 was expanded on, and it was while that was being expanded that it really touched me here. And verse 13 says again, "For I am the Lord your God." "I am the Lord." This is written in such big letters. "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And do you know what I really noticed out of all of this on this day was in verse 10, Jesus talks about his righteous right hand upholding me. But in verse 13, he's taking my right hand and holding my right hand and helping me. And do you know what? That really did speak to me. Now I've lost my place. You know when, I don't know if you ever, I'm sure we did, when we had children, when we were younger, the place was a mess and, you know, you just couldn't see through the day how you were going to get through. Can you imagine if a friend came along and helped you with that? It really takes the weight off your shoulders. It takes that burden away. And, you know, while somebody's helping you, you chat, don't you? You talk, and that's so wonderful because the chores are done and you've had a lovely chat with a dear friend. Well, now imagine, as I love to do, I love to think of Jesus helping me, and I know he does. Can you imagine if it was Jesus knocking on the door? And when I opened the door, he said, "I know what you're going through, Pauline. You're going through that dark valley. I know you can't see..." Sorry, keep doing that. "I know you can't see what's ahead of you. You can't see what's around that dark bend. But I can. And I'm going to hold your hand. And I'm going to walk with you until we come through this. And what's good? We chatted all the way." You know, what's better than chatting with Jesus? There's nothing better than that. And do you know what? I don't know why God allowed this to happen. And I don't know what the future holds for me. But I do know the one who does. And he's here now holding my hand, helping me. He helps me all the time, holding my hand. And I'm hanging on to that so tightly. Because he's my Lord, my Saviour. He's my friend and my helper. And I love him and I trust him. Thank you.
Haven't those been amazing stories, testimonies this morning that have really opened up the eyes of our hearts this morning? I think we should give them, everybody, a round of applause this morning. It's been fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Pauline, so much. I particularly, Claire, thank you for helping me understand a little bit more about ADHD and the autism and how you live with that. That's just helped open my eyes so much. And Pauline, those lovely little phrases that you bring out so many times about imagining that Jesus is with me and holding my hand, that he can see round the corner when I can't. I think that's so lovely. So let's do just that. Let's turn to prayer now. And the whole point of turning to prayer is that we will have our eyes opened in the situations that we're facing. Let's pray together. And let's just start by just offering to God those situations which we personally are facing. I'm sure that you are sitting there thinking, yes, I'm facing an adverse situation at the moment, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this, and I need you, Lord, to open the eyes of my heart so that I can see this situation differently from your point of view. Let's just have a moment of quiet as we commend those situations into God's hands, knowing that God is our dwelling place. We find our home and our hope in Him. I'd just like to take our minds into our local area, our church, nationally and internationally, as we pray together and ask God to open our eyes in the local situations, national and international situations. Lord, we do give you thanks that Chris, Toby and Oscar have stayed well while being in Uganda amidst all that they've been involved with. Thank you for the positive video that we just saw them with. We're standing with Esther. That just gives us so much joy to see them all standing together. And those from the Smile charity as well, how exciting to see them all together and excited by what God is doing amidst them. We thank you that you have kept Meg and Harry, Lexi and Lola supported by family members, and continue to bless them. We lift before you those who are unwell in our church. We particularly remember Martin and Lorraine. And in your mind's eye, just remember others who are not well at the moment, that in their long-term illnesses, they would find that God opens the eyes of their hearts. Just remember nationally, as we have a new government in place, sovereign God, we know that yesterday, today, and tomorrow lie under your control. You rule over everything. Power and might are in your hands, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. May those whom you have given authority to govern recognize this. We pray that you will inspire politicians, Almighty God, with the imagination and sound strategies to reform and reinvigorate our national institutions, the NHS, education, economy, the national security, peaceful community life, support for those most vulnerable, and proper provision for those who do not have enough. We commend our governments into your hands. Help them to see life in a new way. And in the light of the attempted assassination yesterday of ex-President Trump, sovereign God, thank you that we can confidently hold on to the hope and promise of eternal peace as we trust in Christ, knowing this will come to pass fully when he returns to restore and redeem the earth. Please help us to live now in that peace with one another, and to earnestly pray for those in turmoil and trouble. Prince of Peace, we intercede for our war-torn and conflict-filled world, where millions are caught up in conflict and violence, many forced to leave their homes. Please grant them courage and protection. Help every agency working to bring food supplies, shelter, medical assistance, education, and hope to those in need. And we ask you that your church would be a beacon of peace within these workplaces, these families, communities, and other groups and situations where there is bitterness and strife. Grant your church courage and confidence where they are caught up in the crossfire, and empower them to share the gospel of forgiveness wherever possible. Complete our time of prayer together by saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.